Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall Sunday morning here in Southwest Florida, Tampa, and here at Seminole Church. We're glad you're here this morning to worship with us. And if it is your first time to worship this morning with our congregation, we'd appreciate it if you'd fill out the insert, the tan insert inside of your bulletin, which gives the vital information for you, phone number, email address, that sort of thing. We'd love to have a record of your visit with us today. We'd also like to pray for any concerns that you might have or that you might have about your family and that sort of thing. You can jot those down on the back of the prayer sheet, and you will be prayed for this coming week. But again, welcome, and we are glad that you are here this morning to worship our great triune God with us. If you'll notice inside of your bulletin, in the very back of the bulletin, it says Thanksgiving Eve service. Just a couple of announcements to highlight. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Eve service as well as a Christmas Eve service this year. And the Thanksgiving Eve service is very relaxed, very informal. It's a time for us to gather together to give thanks to God for all that He's done over the past year. And we'll sing a few hymns and that sort of thing. I don't anticipate a service longer than 30 or 45 minutes. So if you can join us on Thanksgiving Eve at 7 o'clock, here in the sanctuary, then by all means do so. Make your plans to do that. Now, Christmas decorations, we're deferring to St. Paul this year because, as is obvious, we are their guests. They are our host church. And the way they decorate and hang the green, as it were, is very different from us. They do it in stages. You know, we used to gather one Sunday or the Sunday before Advent, and we would do it all in one afternoon. Well, they like to do it in stages. And as they welcome the Christmas season, Sunday by Sunday. And so you have the dates down there, three successive Saturdays, the 28th, the 5th of December, and also the 12th of December, where they gather at 9 a.m. on these Saturday mornings to decorate the sanctuary. And I like this because you can come and be a part for as long as you like, and we can also be students as we learn how St. Paul hangs the green, and hopefully we can benefit from that and participate as we make the sanctuary beautiful and colorful for the Advent season. So please make note of that. Also, as I mentioned last week, the mother of all yard sales apparently takes place here in Seminole Heights annually. And this year it will be on the 14th. And again, if you would like to sell any items that you have in your home and move them to the manse over here or where our church offices are located, you can treat that home as your home and just bring your stuff and put it on the lawn or in the driveway and sell it on that particular day. Now, be sure that you haul it home. I hate garage sales. I don't make any bones about it. There's always junk everywhere, and people dicker with you trying to get something for nothing. If it's a quarter, they want it for a dime. And don't mean to go off on a rabbit trail, but all that to say, I despise these things, but a lot of people love them. And what I enjoy most about a yard sale is when it's over with. And all the junk is gone. So be sure, if you bring any of your junk or items, be sure to take them home if they do not find a worthy owner and buyer at the end of the day. So you're welcome to participate in that. Also, a program note. Now, Danny has been off, and we've had different, not Danny has been off, we've had different functions going on, various functions on October, the Presbytery-wide worship service. Last week, we had the fall fellowship, which was wonderful, incidentally. I believe we had about 96 adults and children participate here on the campus as we enjoyed hot dogs and hamburgers and just a time of fellowship to get to know each other better. It was a great, great, great time. So thanks to all who participated in putting that together. And but we've been off for our youth small groups for two successive weeks. And so we wanted to highlight the fact that they'll be cranking back up tonight. And you'll be meeting at the home of Servi and Raquel Fernandez, as usual, and all the information is available for you in the bulletin. Incidentally, pray for Servi Fernandez. Many of you know that his father, Servando Sr., died just recently, and his mother, Mercedes, is not in good health either. He had to go this morning about 4:30 a.m. to the ALF where she lives and to see to her needs. So that is why he and his family are not here this morning, or at least he's not here. So begin praying for and continue to pray for Servi. He also has a very important interview process that he's going through. He's been out of work for a long time, as have several of our people. He's got to fly to Atlanta before Christmas. And so be in prayer for Servi that he could land this job and hopefully end this terrible drought of unemployment that he's had to endure. So thank God for this dear brother. Also, don't forget the ladies' Bible studies, one on Tuesday night, one on Thursday morning. The one on Tuesday night is held in my home, led by my wife Diane. The one on Thursday morning is held here at the church in the conference room or the church parlor, and that is led by Jamie Dalton. And so be in prayer for those, and they're going very, very well, as I understand it. Also, the Covenant Group, Larry Dickey's done a marvelous job in assembling our seniors, and he keeps on pulling in more seniors and keeping up with them. And they meet every Friday at 10 a.m. here on the campus for a time of fellowship, Bible study, and prayer. So if you're not a part of that and you would like to be, or perhaps you know of somebody who is a senior citizen who is lonely and has little to no contact or friends, and they would benefit from something like this, then be sure to invite them and encourage them to be a part of that. Okay, I don't have any other announcements. Is everybody comfortable? I'm hot, so that means that everybody must be comfortable. So, okay. I know it was a little cold last week. We've had some interesting drama with the air conditioning in terms of who's setting it and little elves coming behind us and resetting it and that sort of thing. So hopefully we'll get that worked out. But as long as we're not freezing you to death or making you melt, then I think we hit a good balance. So at any rate, we're here to worship our great triune God, all kidding aside. So let's set our hearts and minds to be sober, as the Apostle Peter said, and to fix our thoughts on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's worship as we ought, with mind, will, and emotions. And let's do that as we begin now listening to the prelude.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 145. I'm going to responsibly read the first five verses. This is a psalm of praise, Psalm of David. I'll read the light print, if you read the bold print. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation will remember your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing hymn number 310, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Father, you are our God and you are our King. We gather here this morning in reverence and awe, with joy and gratitude, with eagerness and anticipation. For you alone are worthy of praise. You alone have done mighty acts to save your people. You alone are King. And so we ask, Father, that you would speak to us this morning through your word, and that you would also receive our worship as a fragrant offering up to you. For we approach you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm number 34. And at the beginning of this psalm, it opens up with praise. We'll be picking it up beginning at verse 11, where there is a strong instructive tone, very similar to what we find in the wisdom literature, like Proverbs. Verses 12 to 16 of this reading are actually quoted in our passage from 1 Peter, which John will be preaching on later this morning. And also verse 20 is quoted in the Gospel of John and is applied to Jesus, the only perfectly righteous man that ever lived. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 11. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is God's word. We come now to a time of confession, and though there is no posture of prayer that is required for God to hear us, a lot of times our posture, physical positioning of our body, communicates an attitude within our hearts. And we find ourselves in the sanctuary of St. Paul Lutheran Church, and if you look in your pew, there are actually kneeling benches. And so we thought that we would invite you, for those that are able, to go ahead and use the kneeling benches as we come to our prayer of confession. And I will lead us in prayer. I'll provide a time of silence for you to confess your sins before the Lord. And then if you choose to kneel, be sure to take your bulletin with you as we'll be reciting together the prayer that is printed in your bulletin. So those that are able, I invite you at this time to go ahead and use the kneeling benches. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, even as we read in this psalm, oh, we take refuge in you. We are grateful to be in the protective care of your grace. And as we enjoy the benefit of this, our continuing sin becomes all the more glaring and disgusting to us. Like the Apostle Paul, we can say that we have the desire to do good, but we cannot carry it out. For what we do is not the good we want to do. No, the evil we don't want to do, that is what we keep doing. Among many other things, Father, our tongues have spoken evil, deceit, gossip, and slander. Would you show us the depth of our sin so that we may confess it during this time of silence? Father, by your power, will you enable us to turn from evil and do good, to seek peace and to pursue it? Would you also listen to us as we pray together, the prayer that is printed in our bulletins. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And here, the assurance of pardon from God's word to those who repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus. Romans 5:1 states, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is good news. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter. We're looking at chapter 3, verses 8 through 22. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Is it better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil? For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. And this is God's word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather as your people, as a branch of the body of Christ, universal, and seek your face on this Sunday morning. Father, as the Advent season approaches, we thank you that indeed you've given us the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, that our sins might be atoned for. And so, Father, we gather this morning with peace in our hearts because we've been forgiven. As we confess our sins afresh and anew, we join together as those who are called to love one another, as sinners saved by the grace of God. Father, we rejoice. Thank you for such a great salvation. Father, we praise you for your sovereign kingship in a world of heartache and warfare and hatred and misery, a world that is tainted by sin in every area. Father, we rejoice that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that nothing takes place without your sovereign guidance and your hand. So, Father, with that in mind, we grieve. We think about those who lost loved ones, Fort Hood, Texas, this past week. Father, we ask that you would bring to closure the insanity brought about by sin. That, Father, you would touch aching hearts of loved ones who have lost a husband, a wife, a mother, a dad, a young person, a child. Father, we pray that you would be with those folks who grieve. And also, we think closer to home in Orlando, Florida this past week. Again, another senseless shooting. Lord, there is so much pain, economic pain, family pain, loss of identity. Father, we know as believers in Christ that it's all brought about by sin. Lord, help us to preach the gospel. Help us to weep with those who weep. Help us to be sensitive and to listen and rejoice with those who rejoice. And Father, help us to be a shining light in a very, very dark world that doesn't know you. Father, we pray for our president. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for those who lead in high office in Washington. We pray for our state of Florida, our city of Tampa. We ask, Lord, that those who rule would rule justly, and that, Father, there would be a measure of peace so that the gospel might go forward. Lord, thank you for all the way that you've led us as a church. And we pray you would continue to lead and guide us with your good and steady hand. Help us, Lord, to seek your face always. Pray for the officers, staff, and church members of Seminole Church. Pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. Father, closer to home, we pray for those who are suffering with difficulty. We pray for those who grieve. Lord, I think of Bill and Mary Ernest, the loss of Mary's mother, Mrs. Ida Masco, this past week. Be with Bill and Mary as they're away in Ohio. Father, make all the details of that funeral for this precious saint come together. Be with Mary and her sisters and bring them comfort, Lord. Father, we also pray, thank you for Tavin Grooms, youngest member of the Grooms household, for Becky, our pianist. Father, you would be with David and Becky and Maggie, and that you would bless and continue to bless and heal little Tavin from the two surgeries that he's experienced this past week. Father, make him strong and help him to recover. Bring Becky back to us very soon. Bless the Groom's household today. Father, we continue to lift up the family and friends of Mrs. Ruth Gallup, another saint who has gone to be with you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them and taking care of all of her affairs as they wrap up this week. Father, we pray for our church budget as it will be given out to the congregation, that, Lord, you would encourage us in 2010 as we continue to regroup after our move and move forward and focus on one another, most of all upon you and the vision that you've given to us. Make us faithful, Lord, to give the tithe and our offerings as you would lead us. Father, we pray for others. I think of my brother in Christ, Dave Hawes, a missionary supported by our church. Father, continue to give him strength and encouragement. Father, remind him of all of his work for you, done by your grace and mercy. Encourage him this day. Strengthen him. Thank you that he could join us, Lord, with his busy travel schedule. Father, encourage him in the coming year. Father, we also pray for Mark Mayhew. We pray for Don and Judy Vanderplug as they wrap up another year in Papua New Guinea. Father, bless their work. Encourage them. Father, we would pray for St. Paul Church. Lord, thank you for opening a door for us to use their facilities. We pray, Lord, that our relationship with them would continue to be enhanced, and that, Lord, you would lead and guide both congregations as you see fit to do so. Help us to walk by faith. Father, we also pray for the Cambridge Christian School that they would flourish, and that, Lord, you would help them to clarify their identity as they move forward, and that, Lord, you'd bless them. Now, Lord, we pray that as we continue to seek your face, that you would make us attentive to your word, the preached word, the spoken word, but also the word sung. Father, help us to listen with all of our being as you move mysteriously by your Spirit in our hearts to make us obedient to the gospel in every way. Father, do these things and we'll give you praise even now as we pray that model prayer that you taught us through the lips of Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
May that be our prayer as well. Would you stand with me as we sing hymn number 103, Holy God, we praise your name.
Mm-hmm.
Our offertory statement this morning comes from Psalm 24, verses 1 through 5. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Jesus our Savior, the only one who is worthy to ascend the hill of the Lord. And we thank you that it is through him and by faith in him that we too may approach the throne of grace with boldness and come into your presence. Father, you have blessed us. And so, as an act of worship, we give back to you our tithes and our offerings. I pray that you would use these gifts to build your kingdom, that you would use them for your glory. We thank you for this privilege. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
stand together?